Hello and welcome to the 100 podcast. Zen Charlie here with you. Hope you're well. Been a little bit of a while, but with the T20 Blast starting tomorrow, that's Saturday the 20th of May, we thought it would be fun to come back and give a little bit of an insight into the players we're excited to watch this summer and might make an impact in the 100. So what we've done is we've both put together Blast ones to watch. We've both put an 11 together, so 11 players we're excited to see. We're going to go through the list and talk about some of those players that could make an impact in the 100, but could also break out massively in the 2023 T20 Blast. It's always a fun exercise to do, Charlie, to look at the players that we think could take a next step this summer.
It is really fun. In the past, we've done similar, and sometimes we've been really on the money, and sometimes we've been comically wrong. But I think it's really fun to find out. I've got a list of players that I think I'm quite excited to watch play. I'm inevitably sure that some of these will be awful, but that's the fun of doing this. You know, you get to laugh at our expense. Some of these players, I reckon they've got a lot to offer. I'm really excited to see them. So let's see what we got.
So the other twist to this is that myself and Charlie put our own 11s together, but we have absolutely no idea which players are in the other person's 11. So we're going to kind of be finding out in real time who we've selected. We might have some of the same players. If we do, we'll obviously mention it, talk about those players, but I doubt that we'll have, hopefully, a squad full of the same guys. I guess we'll find out. So we'll go 1 to 11. Charlie is going to start with the odds. I'll do the evens. We'll start with the player at the top of our order and go all the way down into the bowlers and maybe a 12th man for fun. So, Charlie, we'll start with your first opener. Who have you got as the first player in your Blast 2023 team to watch?
Now, this is a player we've spoken about before on the podcast. This is the player that I think we were both surprised didn't get drafted in the draft this year. It is, of course, Mr. Alistair Graham Hamilton Orr of Sussex. He is a really exciting player for me. Hasn't played a great deal of T20 cricket yet, but when he has played, he knows how to hit a long ball. He strikes at 180, over 180, against pace bowling. Admittedly, small sample size, but you still got to do it. And Every time he's come out there and faced pace bowling, this kid looks like a serious talent. So for me, no-brainer, Ali Orr had to go in.
Absolutely. And he's also in my team, funnily enough. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I think he's got the it factor. Again, I didn't play a great deal last year, but when he did, average 21, strike rate of 161 at the top of the order. I mean, he can go at it. And I think if you're looking at players to break out, it's those guys with high strike rates who look like they can really make an impact, get after the bowling, who they can then maybe take that step to be more consistent, that you get excited about. Ali Orr's that, average of 21, strike of 161. And then, obviously, in the Royal London One Day Cup, he had a good one as well, average 58, strike rate of 99. A lot of that was the 206 he scored against Somerset. Attack that included Jack Brooks, Casey Aldridge, Lewis Goldsworthy. We'll forget the fact that Matt Renshaw bowled 10 overs. But, there's some good players in there. Just a really exciting talent. And I thought he'd get picked up in the 100 draft just off the potential there. But, when I'm thinking of this wildcard draft that's coming up, Ali Orr is one of the first players that I kind of lock in to be an early pick.
I would be very surprised if he doesn't. I don't think he'll be the first pick necessarily. I expect that to be one of Matt Parkinson or Jake Lintott for the Welsh Fire. However, I feel like if you're looking for a batter, a top order batter, Ali Orr has got to be at the very, very top portion of that list because he's young. He has so much potential. I think he is a no-brainer for me. So I'd be very surprised if he's not in the mix.
Okay, so we both got Ali Orr at the top of the order. That's expected. So let's rotate over to me and I will give my other opener. Let's see if you also have him. I have Michael Jones of Durham. Do you have Michael Jones?
I do have Michael Jones.
Michael Jones, right. Here we go. Starting well. Okay, I really like Michael Jones. T20 cricket is such an interesting game and you're always chasing those kind of massive talents, the guys who can consistently score loads of runs very quickly, be absolutely dominant. I think Ali Orr's the kind of player with that upside, but you think of the Will Smeeds of these world who have hundreds in them, have big runs in them, all of those big time players. And there is a role, I think, in the 100 and the Blast for good role players. And that's what I see Michael Jones as. I think he's a really fun opening batter who I think can improve his scores, and has a really good boundary percentage, 20% boundary percentage, I believe, in 2022, average of 26, strike rate of 140. Just good, solid opening batter, can get you off to decent starts, good boundary percentage. I think there's another step that he could take, even though right now I think he's a pretty solid county opener.
I completely agree. I think he reminds me quite a bit, actually, of Full Salt when he first broke through, in that he wasn't necessarily making the huge scores, but he was never going to play a match losing innings for you. He was always going to come out the gates swinging from the first ball, trying to clear the ropes. He hits a lot of sixes. I think this is completely off the top of my head. I was reading earlier. I think in 2022 in the Blast, he hit a six more or less for every two fours, which is pretty good going at Chester Street. I just like what he brings to the table. And I think, I agree, he's got potentially another gear he can step up into. But he's had two or three very solid seasons at Durham now, and not a lot of people speak about him in particularly high regard. He's kind of bubbly under a little bit. And I feel like another good year, he'll be very hard to ignore. So, yeah, a very easy pick for me here. I'm really excited we've both got the same two openers.
Yeah. High score of 44 in the Blast last year. That's the reason, right, I think people are talking about him. Because he's not had that innings where you would say he's genuinely won his side a game. That's the next step for a player like Michael Jones, who right now is a really fun county opener. Can he be more? I think he can. But he needs to take another step, I think, to get to that 100 level. Because you can find openers who can get on with it. There's not a shortage of them in the England game, but you're always chasing those game changers, players who can win you games. I don't think Michael Jones is that yet. He's a good player, fun player, and definitely plays some really good innings. But is he a consistent match winner? At this point, probably not. There's another level he can get to. But the fact his high score was 44, only one not out, still averaging 26. I think that shows that that innings might be around the corner soon. On the boundary percentage side of things, it's 34 fours to 12 sixes. So about, one in three, say. But he's a really fun player. So I really like that. And we have the same openers, which I don't think should be a surprise. So do you want to reveal your number three? And let's fingers crossed we're not completely the same.
Yeah, let's do this. I think we might differ here. I've got for my keeper at number three. This player has played 100 last year. Not to great success, but he did. And he is back in the competition this team, albeit for a different team. It's Essex's Michael Pepper.
Okay.
Now, do you have Michael Pepper?
I do not have Michael Pepper. He's a great player, though.
He is a great player. I think he's particularly adept against spin, which is not always the easiest skill set to find in the English domestic game. He is a real 360 hitter. He loves to get down and scoop and ramp and sweep. He's not afraid to do that to seam bowlers as well. He's even not afraid to do it in the Championship, which is annoying a lot of the Essex Old Faithful because they can't seem to fathom the idea of someone playing such a heretical shot in the County Championship. But it is very much his natural game, and he's very adept at doing that. Had a really good breakthrough season last year in the Blast, striking at around 160, one of the leading run scorers in the competition as well. Didn't push on to have the 100 he necessarily could have done. I think he struggled to find his tempo or his role a little bit at the Superchargers. But the spirit at Lords, I think, is going to be a really good ground for him. Those short square boundaries, he's going to have an absolute field day there, I think. If they use him properly, they get him up the order, let him hit the spin, that could be really good ground for him as well. Likewise, Chelmsford is a really good ground for him as well. Similar kind of dimensions, quite small boundaries, short square. I think he could be on for a really good year again if he gets stuck in and starts hitting those spinners in the way we know he can.
Yeah. Michael Pepper for me would have been a very easy selection, but I knew you'd pick him and I wanted to try and make us different. I mean, he's such a good player. I mean, as you say, struck 163 last year, average 36. Just a phenomenal blast for Essex. I think he's so interesting in the way he plays spin, the way he scores around the ground. It didn't quite kick on in the 100, but I do think that there is a really nice role for him there at London Spirit. I think they tend to have a lot of right-handers, and obviously he is another right-hander, but I think the way he plays spin, is a good thing for them. So I think he might well get a run on the side. Obviously, they have Adam Rossington as a keeper who's done very well for them. So he will have to get in there. But I would have drafted him a bit higher than he went. He ended up going in the 30K slot, I believe. That's a little bit lower than I had Michael Pepper. I think he's a really, really phenomenal player, actually, especially at the Blast level. So I think with Michael Pepper, it's not a is he going to break out in the Blast, because he's already done that. Is he going to dominate the Blast and then translate that to the 100, which I think is a really interesting proposition?
It is, and I'm really excited to see how he gets on. I know that there's a lot of familiar faces in the Spirit dressing room, certainly far more so than it would have been in the Superchargers camp. I feel like they'll be more aware of his game. I think they'll know exactly what he can bring to the table. And I'm hoping that that will give him a nice role that really suits his game, and they'll be able to back him all the way and watch him break out. I think that is the best club for him to be at in the 100. So if he's got any chance of doing it this year, he's in the right place to do it.
Let's go from Lords to Lords. I'm going to do my keeper next. His card's at four, but I'm going to do my keeper next, just for mirror's sake. I've gone for a keeper at Middlesex. And I've gone for Joe Cracknell. Now, my issue with picking teams like this, and any teams, is I completely forget to pick a wicketkeeper, because these days I just assume that every batter in England can keep. And so when I was going through this, are you sure Michael Jones isn't Durham's keeper? He's not, spoilers. Joe Cracknell can keep. And look, you know, this is a guy who obviously got into the 120-21, had a pretty decent blast there, averaging 25, struck over 137, started well, showed some promise, faded away last year, not a good campaign, averaged 24, struck over 122. When you're playing at Lords, you need to be better. I just think there's a player there. Look, I've seen Joe Cracknell deliver more. He's only 23. I think there's a player there. Does he need to improve? Absolutely. But, you know, average of 25, strike of 132 over his career. He's only played 32 games. I do think there's a good player waiting to be unlocked there. He does need to take that next step. He needs to improve in a poor campaign last year. But I'm willing to bet on a guy that I've seen play to a standard, you know, that's pretty high, and I think has the ability to be a really productive player in the Blast. Needs to improve. Absolutely, absolutely needs to improve. But I think there's another step for him, and I think he could be fighting his way back towards the 100 if things go his way this season.
I hope so. I know when he first broke out in our first season of doing this podcast, we were both pretty big on Joe Cracknell. I remember we spoke about him quite a lot. We were really excited for him when he got picked up with London Spirit. Since then, it's not really gone his way, as you say. I think he struck around 120-odd last year. He got outstruck by Max Holden, which
isn't ideal.
Not going to lie. No offence to Max Holden, but it's not really the bar you want to be setting if you want to be challenging for, you know, 100-level competitions. It's not really ideal, is it? So, yeah, he's got a lot of work to do. But clearly, as you say, there is a player there. He has the potential and the raw ability, and there is every chance to put it together. So I like that pick. I respect that.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, the T20 is such a volatile format. And I often do think that when players have an off year, we switch off. And no, okay, no. Sometimes you should remember that, you know, it's a difficult format to get right. If you go out of form, it can really go against you. I think there's a player there. It'd have been lovely to see him take that next step, you know, last year. Can he take it this year? I think he can. So, you know, the other thing is there's not a great deal of exciting young wicketkeepers who already aren't in the 100. Obviously, we kind of said, you know, we give ourselves a couple of 100 players in this, but I wanted to find a player maybe outside of the 100 right now who could break in. And, you know, you look at the keeping ranks, and Tom Allsop's obviously there, but he's 27. A lot of the keepers who are already there have already been picked up. So, you know, I just wanted to try some, but I like Joe Cracknell, good player. I'm going to head to my number three. Number four on my side, obviously, I've got Cracknell down to bat three or four. It's kind of interchangeable with my next guy, who I know is going to open the batting for his side, but I think it'll work. I've got Leicestershire's Sol Budinger in at four, who is, and let's ignore stats completely right now, because he's barely played T20 cricket, but just couldn't get in the side at Notts. Didn't do a great deal while he was there either, to be frank. But this guy's 23 years old, come over to Leicestershire, and he's scoring very, very quickly in the county championship, which is really fun to watch, having watched a lot of Leicestershire players block their way to seven off 32 before edging behind. It's nice to see him get on with it a bit. Yeah, you've seen a little bit of a player in List A cricket, average of 32, 135 strike rate across his career. That's in the 50-over competition. He hasn't translated that to T20 cricket yet, but I think there's a serious player here. And I think when he gets to Leicestershire at Grace Road, obviously they've got those big boundaries, but they're really good tracks, really true tracks. And I think he's the kind of player who could get a lot of runs very, very quickly. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm really positive about Sol Bodinger's outlook.
Well, guess what? I also have Sol Bodinger in my team. What can I say? This isn't a surprise. We've spoken about Bodinger quite a lot on this podcast, and I know that it was a bit tricky to shoehorn him into this team as well, because he's not a number four where I've got him at all, and I know that's a bit unrealistic, but I think he's worth mentioning, frankly. I feel like he is a player of a lot of potential. Like you say, it's not necessarily come together for him just yet in T20, at least not at first team level, but you look at his second 11 scores over the last couple of years, there's very clearly a player of extreme boundary hitting potential there. I think the fact he went to the Birmingham Phoenix for a couple of games at the end of last season kind of tells you the kind of player he is. We know how the Phoenix recruit their players. They like guys who are young, lots of high potential, who can hit a lot of boundaries and sixes. And Sol Bodinger went there. So that kind of tells you where he is on their radar and generally the mould of player that he is. I can't really add any more because he hasn't shown a great deal of that promise yet at first team level. But if you look deeply, you know it's there. So fingers crossed he has a good season at Leicester. I think it's a really positive move for him. And I think he is well in the frame for a 100 wildcard gig if he kicks off well.
There don't tend to be many positives about playing at Leicestershire. The one positive usually is you get game time. There's not much else there. So he's going to play games. And you know, I'm just really, really interested to see how he goes. And yeah, Leicestershire have a good start to the season. And he's been a nice part of that in the county championship. I've enjoyed watching him and Rishi Patel play earlier this year. It's been a joy. We said before this podcast, we jumped on, we said we reckon there'll be about four players we'd share. We're already at three and we're barely halfway through. So it's your turn, I believe, Charlie, with your number five carded player.
Yes, it is my turn. And I'm hoping that this player will not be shared. This is a really rogue one.
Go on.
This guy plays for Essex. He is South African born.
Okay.
He is a hard-hitting, leg-spinning all-rounder. It's Luke Benkenstein, son of Dale Benkenstein, who is now the Gloucestershire coach. Luke Benkenstein really, really excites me as an Essex fan. He is one of the few Essex youth players who have come through the system. I mean, he's not really come through the system, but he's young and plays for Essex, so I'm going to take him.
Let's count it.
Yeah. He's one of very few young guys at Essex who are genuinely adept and talented at white ball cricket. A lot of Essex Academy products have tended to be red ball dominant, Michael Pepper being the prominent exception. But I think this guy, Luke Benkenstein, is a real talent. He had a really good Pakistan Junior League, which I think was a really fun league and a pretty high standard. I'm sad that it's not happening again. He opened the batting and got named in the team of the season. He scored 270s in a row, one at round 170 strike rate, one at 160. Really dominated there. And there's quite a few other players who were in and around the county system playing that competition. A few Sussex lads. I think Archie Denham was out there, Daniel Ibrahim. Yeah. And he looked so far ahead of them. He really dominated the competition. Barely bowled, which was interesting, because at Essex, he predominantly plays as a leg spinner who can bat a little bit. But at Aguada Sharks, they clearly saw him more of a batter who can bowl, which I think is really interesting. I'm not necessarily sure which way he's going to go yet. I think they're both equally promising skill sets. His bowling is raw, but he turns it a long way. Picked up a sixer in the Royal London Cup last year against Glamorgan. Some of them are pies, but some of them are absolute gems. A lot of rip and flight, which I think is a really promising aspect for a bowler like him. Bowling that way at Chelmsford is always going to be difficult. So, you know, you got to respect the lad for daring to toss it up. And if you watch him play for the Sharks in the PJL, he has a kind of similar starts to Will Smead, actually. He's quite leg-side dominant, but he cracks a long ball, got a lot of raw power, really solid stance at the crease. I feel like he has all the raw potential to be a really, really exciting all-rounder, equally strong in both skill sets. So, like I say, we don't know exactly which way he's going to develop. We don't know which of his skill sets will end up being his prominent one. But whatever the situation, I feel like this is a real player to watch out for.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he only bowled three overs in the Junior Pakistan League, which is very interesting, as you said, given he picked up 11 wickets in six games for Essex in the Royal London One Day Cup. They seem to really want to bring on his leg spin, and he didn't really do a great deal with the bat. I'm kind of interested to see what exactly his role would be if he gets in the Essex side. It's interesting to see how they utilise him.
Well, my suggestion there would be he opens the batting with Adam Rossington. I think there's a gap there for an opener alongside Rossington. And I think with the experience of Rossington, you know what he's going to do. I think you just say, go on, son, have a crack, do your thing. I think that'd be a really good opportunity.
I'd be fascinated to see him do that. I don't think they'll pull that trigger. I'm not sure.
Oh, they won't.
Pull that.
They won't.
I'm not sure they'd pull. I'd pull that trigger. He didn't score many in the List A last year, and so I get it. It's just really interesting, and I've said this. I believe I'm on record saying this: that Rehan Ahmed is the highest ceiling cricketer in the world. And what I mean by that is that Rehan Ahmed has the potential to be a very, very good batter who is a gun leg spinner, and you don't get those. You don't get those. Even if you look at Rashid Khan, for example, he's a really, really good batter as well, but he's not a guy who's going to consistently score big runs. He's a finisher who's really fun. Rehan has a bit more, especially on the Red Bull side of things. Luke Benkenstein could potentially develop into a top-order batter, and let's not talk about, you know, his upside here, because we've got a cricketer who's very young and hasn't yet, you know, really got onto the county stage, let alone the international stage. But he's a guy who could develop into a pretty good opener and can also bowl some pretty interesting leg spin. There's a player here, and, you know, he's only 18. We'll see what he develops into. Could be 2 or 3 years until he really comes into his own. But I think what he did in the junior league was really, really interesting. I was really impressed watching him bat in that. So, yeah, interesting player. And yeah, excited to see if he gets a game for Essex this year and what he can develop into. So I like that. I've gone a different direction, thankfully. I've also gone for a batter who bowls some spin, not quite to the same level. Now, when you're going through this, you want to try and find the you know, rough gems, I suppose. And you're looking through, okay, you know, is there anyone in second 11 cricket, you know, ripping it up? And a guy I've had my eye on a while, I don't think I've mentioned him on the podcast, but I've mentioned him to you before, Charlie. He's 23, so a little bit of an older breakout age, but I think he's a player who can really, really get after it. Glamorgan's Tom Bevan. Now, he played 2 games in the T20s from last year, didn't do a great deal, looked a bit better in the List A stuff, scored 100 in the Royal London One Day Cup last year. But his second 11 numbers are just really, really interesting. Averaged 35 last year, struck over 155 in the seconds, T20. Yeah, this is a guy who I think can... It bowls a bit of part-time off-spin, which is nice, good fielder. But I just you watch him and you think he can hit it around the ground, he can play with power. I think Glamorgan are probably going to use him at the top of the order, and I'm really interested to see that, because I think he can open up the offside and play aggressively through there. I think he can then, you know, pull very powerfully as well into the leg side. This is really a projection, because we just haven't seen much of Tom Bevan, to be frank. 2 T20s, 4 List A games, 1 first-class game, where he played 1 innings and scored 48. So he did all right in that. That was back end of last season against Derbyshire. I'm not going to look at the attack, but I'm not going to look at the attack. I've just gone still. I'm not going to name any names. But point is, there's a player here, I think, and it's always nice to see young Welsh talent come through. So I want to give him a shout out. I think he's a really fun player, and I'm excited to see if he can get a run in this Glamorgan side in the T20 output setup and put together some performances. So yeah, really interested to see what Tom Bevan does this year.
I feel like he could be a real point of difference to that Glamorgan top order, because when I think of that top order, they've got David Lloyd. He's a solid player. You know, he's a relatively decent, relatively aggressive player. But then you look at the rest of the names up there and you're instantly thinking Sam Northeast, Kieran Carlson, who are very much in the anchor stroke accumulator mold. Neither of those are really going to knock on. They might get a lot of runs, but they're not necessarily very quick runs. And I wonder if you can, you know, knock one of them on the head, bring in Tom Bevan at the top and say, go on, lad, have a crack. That might be a complete game changer for them. I don't think you necessarily need all of those anchors, especially with Manus Labuschagne in the fold as well. So, you know, that might be a spot there for him. That might be his role. Whether or not they do that, I don't know, but it could work for them.
What Glamorgan's issue is the fact that Sam Northeast has to bat the way he is, because they're just so turgid. You'd hope, you've got Colin Ingram there, Miles Labuschagne might play a bit, David Lloyd, Sam Northeast, maybe they can cobble it together and you can get Tom Bevan into the side, inject a bit of energy. I think he could open. He could also bat 4 or 5, I think. He has that, you know, flexibility up the order. He's batted 4 or 5 before in the seconds and done pretty well and done in the Royal London One Day Cup as well. But I think they'd probably see him as an opener. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what that is. It really depends what this Glamorgan side is, to be honest, because they could be they could be pretty turgid again. But excited to see what Tom Bevan does, and he is my number five, and just excited to see a young Welsh talent. Should we head for your number six? Actually, no, wait. It's
your
my turn.
Number six.
Yeah, it's evens, isn't it? So it's my turn. And let's head back to Cardiff. I've got a second player from Glamorgan in my side, and this is my one player who I don't think really counts as a breakout star, but I want to mention because he, I think, is going completely under the radar and deserves to be talked about more. Charlie, if I told you there was a player in the Blast last year whose batting statistics has an average of 36 and a strike rate of 183, would that excite you?
It really, really would. Does his player also hit it in unusual areas?
He doesn't. He hits it really bloody far, to be frank.
That's interesting. That's interesting, because I've spoken to his agent, and I know exactly who you mean, and his agent tells me he hits it in unusual areas, so that's very interesting.
I'm very fond of Dan Douthwaite. I'll be honest. I'm sure he can hit it in unusual areas, but if you can hit it as far as he does, I don't think it really matters. I mean, and with Dan Douthwaite, I think there's a whole discussion to be had about what his value is. Spoiler, it's considerably higher than anyone thinks. Glamorgan, you know, didn't give him a huge amount of opportunities, only faced 180 deliveries. There were four games he played in where he didn't bat. This guy hit 14 sixes to 11 fours, hits a lot of sixes, that strike of 183. He only faced 98 deliveries last year, but I really believe that he can be a proper, genuine power finisher in T20 cricket. In fact, he already is. I think the thing that draws Dan Douthwaite back a little bit is the fact that he's struggling with the ball at the moment, which we'll get to. But yeah, just a really exciting guy. Hits it a long way. He is going to play on the 100 next year, which I think is really exciting. He's picked up by the Welsh Fire, which is a great move, in my opinion, for them. I'm really excited to see what he can do, especially at Sevier Gardens, which obviously is home turf. But just I think is a really, really high-level T20 finish currently, really aggressive, really fun. The reason I think people are dragging him back a bit is because he's just not a particularly good T20 bowler. That, you know, part of it is he has to bowl for Glamorgan because they haven't got much else. A common rate of 9.2 last year, 11 wickets at 35. Yeah, the bowling side of this is an issue. But I think the question is, can you divorce that bowling issue and just take him for what he is as a hitter, which is something really, really exciting?
I think you can, you know. I feel like you can ignore the bowling, basically. If you treat him as a finisher, as a hitter, a pure hitter, then those stats are very, very hard to overlook. And it's strange to me that the general perception of Dan Douthwaite would be considerably better if he didn't bowl at all. It's really strange to me, but basically his perception is worse off because he has an extra skill to his bow.
And right? that skill is a below average blast bowler.
Yes, it is. But it's really strange to me that your perception can be lowered by you doing something extra to something that you're very good at. It's really weird, but that is how the human brain works sometimes. And you're right. I do think people think less of Douthwaite than they would do otherwise because he bowls a bit and it's not that great. But I don't think we needed a bowl very much with Welsh Fire. I think you ignore that. You say, just give it a try, mate. You know, he is in the exact same spot that we thought Jordan Thompson was a couple of years ago. And he's gone the other way completely. His batting's been found out and exposed, but his bowling has improved. I don't necessarily foresee that for Dan Douthwaite, but we were wrong about Jordan Thompson, so who knows? If Dan Douthwaite improves his bowling, then he is a very, very valuable player indeed. But as it is, I still think he's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Dan Douthwaite. I've been on him since his Cardiff MCCU days.
I'm such a cricket nerd.
I used to really follow the MCCU games. A very sad life. We described Jordan Thompson, didn't we, as a really exciting T20 batter with bowling upside. I think that's really changed. I don't see the same bowling upside with Dan Douthwaite personally. I think he's a useful bowler in other formats, and it's nice that he has that strength to his game. But I do agree, if he didn't bowl, would he be batting slightly higher up in the order? Would he be getting more opportunities? Would people be talking about him more? Absolutely. That's a whole other conversation, really. So when I'm talking about a blast breakup here, I think he's already broken out. What I'm talking about, is this a guy who people actually start taking notice of? Is this a guy who's going to get in and start making a difference in the 100? Now, again, we talk, T20 stuff is very volatile as it's finishing, but no, I'm just a player that I can't stop talking about at the moment as we head into the season. I think what he can be is phenomenal. And I really hope he gets a good tryout for the Welsh Fire. And they don't bowl him too much. And they really give him a chance to shine with the bat. And I hope he has a really good blast as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love Dan Dalfway. All right, here's my number six. Now, like Dan Dalfway, he has played a bit of under cricket. He does have 100 teams. So I'm going to use one of my 100 slots here. He's 21. He plays for the Birmingham Phoenix. Hasn't played much, but got a lot of potential. It's Dan Moseley of Warwickshire and the Birmingham Bears.
Yeah.
I really like Dan Moseley. The left-hander with a lot of potential. Bowls some pretty handy right arm off breaks as well. It's always great to get those players who can offer you a decent bowling option while batting in the top six. That's always really handy for your balance, for the general makeup of your side. That's a really valuable skill set. And there aren't many of them at that age, to be honest. So if you've got a 21-year-old who can hit a long ball and offer you a couple of solid matchup overs of spin, that for me is already a really exciting skill set. But Moseley hits a really long ball, had a mini breakthrough of sorts last year. He had a really good run in the blast. There's two or three games of the Birmingham Bears where he just went absolutely mental, won him a couple of games. And I know the Birmingham Bears had a lot of ridiculously high scores, so maybe take that with a slight pinch of salt. But to still come in and do what he did, tail end the games, having barely played at that level before, when he did, to be honest, he didn't look all that good. It was really remarkable. He's not a particularly big bloke, but he hits a fairly decent amount of sixes. He's also had a bit of franchise time with my Emirates, or MI Emirates, I don't really know how you say it, and frankly I don't care enough to work it out, but on debut, I believe, for MI Emirates, he came in at number 5 and whacked 31 off 17 against a not half bad bowling attack that Desert Vipers had put together. Luke Wood in there, Mafisha Pafirana, Tom Curran in decent nick in that competition, Benny Howell, Mark Watt. You know, it's a solid team, and he absolutely acclimatized himself really well. I feel like this guy has a lot to offer. If you've got a left-hander who can bowl, who gives it a twat, and he's only 21, I'm all in.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Moseley wasn't my team. I decided to pull him out because I wanted to try a couple of guys who maybe hadn't had the same success as he did last year. But I think it's another player who was so impressive in the blast, didn't quite translate that to the 100 as of yet. He's so fun, especially with the bat. He also bowls, the matchup off spin, I think, is really interesting. And I think we are seeing the death of frontline off spin, unless you are Ravi Ashwin in T20 cricket. And so having a part-timer like Dan Moseley, who's done pretty well in limited exposure, I think is very valuable, especially when you're talking about matchups at the next level with that off spin. So I think that's fun. Just a really, really exciting player. I mean, you look at what he did last year for the Birmingham Bears, and look, it's a high-scoring ground. I mean, he only got into the team in 5 games. I think you forget he only played 5 games. And he averaged 55 and struck out nearly 180. So, yeah, this is a guy who is going to play every single game for Birmingham this year, absolutely no doubt. And I think he's potentially going to be one of those guys who dominates the run scoring charts. Super, super excited to watch him play. A guy who I think is going to have a really good year, and I can't wait to see what he does with a full blast season, and hopefully head into the 100 with a full head of steam. Let's go to number 7, shall we, Charlie? You're up first.
And this is the guy that I'm hoping, Ed, will make you very happy indeed. This is an old podcast favourite.
Go on.
Who I would not have considered at all had you not sent me a tweet from friend of the podcast, Ronan Alexander, of Scouting Cricket. It's Liam Travaskis of
Yes! Now, Liam Travaskis, Hive Unite.
I know. I'm so happy I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm doing this unironically. But Liam Travaskis. Now, I'm going to read you this little stats pack here from Ronan, because his boundary numbers with bat and ball are genuinely really good. So with the bat, in the last couple of seasons in T20 cricket, boundary percentage 20, hits a 6 every 15 balls.
Nice.
With the ball in hand, boundary percentage conceded 14.7%, and he only gets hit for a 6 once every 33 balls. Now that, my friend, is talent. I mean, frankly, I was looking for any excuse possible to get this man into the team. And I saw that tweet and I thought, that's good enough for me. He's going in. So Liam Dravaskis is balancing my side at number 7. Solid boundary percentage with the bat. Not going to give you much with the ball. This is your man. It's Liam Dravaskis.
Liam Dravaskis is a fantastic player. We've been talking about Liam Dravaskis for so long. We've been flying the Liam Dravaskis flag. As I remember, we had him as one of our shortlist players for the original wild card.
We did. Yeah.
Liam Dravaskis is great.
I have the graphic I made somewhere deep in my laptop files, and I'm pretty sure that I suggested that the Birmingham Phoenix should pick up Liam Dravaskis in 2021 as their wildcard player, which they should.
And the reason being is there's always been this theoretical upside with the bat, which I'll address in a moment. But Liam Dravaskis, for a number of years now, has been a very good power play spinner. I don't think that should be forgotten. He has been very good at his very specific role. He has been really useful in the power play for Durham. Not really a wicket taker, but doesn't go for many runs. An economy rate of 8.3 last year, maybe a bit of a down year on the economy rate side of things, but 13 wickets at 30, just really solid bowling at a really difficult period of the game. Consistently keeps it relatively tight and just does a really, really good job. And if you're looking for a very specific type of player, he fits that role, the batting side of things. Now, I think we're taking a bit of a leap with those boundary percentages. And that's not to say it's not a good leap to take, because I think they're interesting numbers. But his high score last year was 19. So this is a guy whose average actually was higher than his high score, which I think is hilarious. Strike rate of 158. This is a guy who I think can bat 7 or 8, offer a little bit of something down the order. Just a nice little package to have to send in at 7 or 8, score some runs at the back end of an innings. You pair that with the fact he's really useful in the power play as a bowler. I think you're laughing. I think he's a really good player, and he was absolutely in my team. He'd probably been in my team before I saw that Ronan tweet, to be honest with you. He's batting 8 for me, but I don't mind. I think he's interchangeable, really. I think he's a good player. And you know, when we originally thought about the wildcard, we assumed that a lot of these kind of useful left-arm spinners would go. I remember we had Tom Smith in that conversation as well. He's coming off a really good year. But the reason Tom Smith never was going to get picked up, really, he doesn't operate in many phases. He just operates in the middle. And this is a decent job at it, but he just operates in the middle. With Liam, you're having a guy who's got some success in the power play. Now, whether I think he's a 100-level spinner, I don't fully know yet. I need to see a bit more. I'd love for him to offer some more consistent runs with the bat, but I think there is a player there, and I'm delighted you have him in my team. You have him in your team. I have him in my team, obviously, because we're big Liam Dravaskis fans. Guys, good to see we're not lost the nicheness on our cricket crushes. Love Liam Dravaskis, great player.
So who's your number 7 then?
My number 7 is Luke Holman from Middlesex. Now this
he's my number 8. Yes.
Oh, of course you do. That's 5 match players now. God. Luke Holman's just another of my guys. I've been high on Luke Holman for a while. You look at last year, and I don't think you see a player who wowed anyone. 9 wickets at 29, economy rate of 8.8 with the bat, average of 21, strike of 127. You know, it's not going to blow you away. But with Luke Holman, you just have a really interesting package. You don't get many guys who could hit a bit down the order. I don't think he's quite shown everything he is as a batter yet, but I do think there's a bit of upside there. And can also bowl some pretty good leg spin. I didn't think Middlesex gave him enough opportunities last year. I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to leg spin. I used to bowl it myself. I spent most of my childhood watching leg spinners. And I do tend to have quite a serious line of where I consider leg spin upside to be. And I think he crosses that threshold. I think he turns it. I think he gets a bit of energy into his delivery. He's tall as well, which I think helps him. I think there's a good leggy in here. And so there's another step for him to take, obviously, with his bowling. It didn't blow anyone away last year. And another step to take with his batting. But you watch him bat, and the stats aren't going to fully get behind us here because he hasn't quite performed to the level you'd want yet. But you watch some of his best games with the bat, and he can hit, he can play, he can sweep, he can play spin. He's 22 years old. I think there's just so much upside here. And so, yeah, leg spinning all rounder, always going to be big for me. And I think when you look at his T20 career stats from just last year, I think it helps him, you know, average of 22 with the bat, struck over 130, 27 wickets at 23, a con rate of 8.09. Remember, he's playing for Middlesex. There's a really, really good player here, Charlie. And I think he could be someone who has a massive 2023 and pushes himself towards 100 contention.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we've said the exact same thing for like the last two seasons and it hasn't happened. Yes, but I feel like on this podcast, we both try and be as rational with our picks as possible. A lot of the time, we like to have a solid, thought-out rationale for why we like certain players. And often that's, you know, stats-based, it's evidence-based. Sometimes it's just because a player has a really nice technique or, you know, the raw skill set that ought to translate to being a really good player. In the sense of Luke Holmwood, it's definitely more of the latter than the former. And frankly, there's also a bit of vibes in there as well. But I think much like Luke Benkenstein, I think for me, Luke Holmwood offers you that incredibly tantalizing skill set of being potentially a very solid lower order batter and potentially a very solid quality leg spinner. Now, both of those individually are nice skills to have. When you get one player that can do both, then that to me is a real asset. And that's the kind of player that you would pay a lot of money to have in your team, because the amount of balance and flexibility that that kind of player offers you in your team is paramount. It's second to none. That is the exact kind of player that makes teams essentially a lot better. So while his stats haven't necessarily leapt off the page so far, and while he hasn't necessarily put in those kind of top tier performances consistently, what you do have with Luke Holmwood is a player that has the potential to be an incredibly valuable asset. And for me, that is absolutely worth being patient with and investing in. Remember, he's only still young. Remember, he plays in Middlesex. That also is a real handicap on any young player, because they are, frankly, awful at T20 cricket, and it is a real vibe sucker. It is the dementor of T20 cricket. If you have any good vibes, you play for Middlesex, and that will suck it out of you. And if you can come out of that system with some credit, then, you know, fair play. You've done well for yourself. And I think Holmwood has managed to not had all of his vibes completely sucked out of him by the Middlesex, whatever the hell it is. He still has vibes intact. And I think that's very promising. So if he can have a little mini breakout, if he can, whether it's batting or it's bowling, I think the bowling will be the more valuable asset, to be honest. But if he can get some wickets, get some turn and put in a few performances, then I think head start to turn.
Yeah. And also, you only have to hark back to 2020, where he was averaging 34 with a bat, struck of 139, 9 wickets at 18, and Conrad at 6.79. Really broke out then, had a couple of decent years, I'd say. I really want Middlesex to really give him responsibility, give him a go. I think he's a great player. We are back to you, because we both had Holmwood and Travascus. We're 5 of 8 currently. I'm concerned that you're also going to have one of my bowlers, but let's go on with it and see how similar we really are. Who's your number 9?
I feel like this one, if any of my remaining players are on your list, I reckon this guy might be. Didn't play a great deal last year, but did play a solid amount the year before and looked really promising. Disappointed he didn't play too much last year, but I'm hoping he gets an extended run in the Hampshire side this year.
Good. He's not in mine. Okay.
He's not. Interesting. No, he's not. Okay. I thought he might be. Well, I've gone for Scott Curry of Hampshire. Scott Curry has not played 100 yet. However, I really like what he offers. He is a really exciting death bowler for me. Admittedly, as I look at his stats now, some of his list day performances from last year don't exactly leap off the page. However, when he did play T20 cricket back in 2021, he was really, really good. He was nice during the middle. He was nice during the death. I think he deserves more of a run in the Hampshire team, frankly, and I would like him to play more and show the world what he can do, because he's always been there or thereabouts for us. Whenever we're thinking about players who we think can make a step up for 100-level cricket, he's always in the conversation. Now, maybe we're just stupid. Maybe we don't necessarily see what the brainiacs who are actually paid to make these decisions see. But I see potential in Scott Curry. I see someone who could be a really good operator at the death, and I think that's very valuable. So that's why I'm backing Scott Curry.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play much last year, but, you know, Hampshire was stacked last year. Let's not forget that. And then the year before, you know, he played 9 games, 19 wickets to 12, a con rate of 7.87. There's a serious player here.
Yeah.
Serious player. I think, you know, if he gets a bit more game time for Hampshire this year, I think he started off a little bit dodgy last year. Didn't quite get in the time. As again, you have Nathan Ellis, you have all of these great bowlers. I hope he gets a proper go this year. And I think he's a really, really good player. And you only have to look at 2021, see what he did there, and just see how impressive a performer he is. Not express, got some slower balls. He digs into the pitch a little bit, takes the pace off. He's a good player. Of course, I'm sure I've told you this anecdote before, so I'm sure I've mentioned on the podcast. Obviously, I've played a game with Scott Curry.
Yes.
We both turned out for pool seconds back in the day. As I remember, there was a lot of talk about him. He was, I mean, at that point, he'd have been 13, 14 maybe. So he wasn't very quick, but just nobody could get him away because he was just so consistent, so on the dot. Every ball was exactly where it needed to be. I'll go with my number nine then. I've gone with Gus Atkinson, who I think is probably the other cricketer you could say didn't play as much in the Blast last year as he should, but it's just a player I'm super impressed with. Obviously, plays for Surrey, and let's not talk about Surrey, they're a disgrace, but 11 wickets of 14.5 last year in 6 games and 4 Surrey. Economy rate of 8. He's quick. He's got kind of a little weird action, but he can hit the spice of the bat. Just causes some issue with his pace. I think he's very skillful as well. Everyone talks about the fact that Gus Atkinson can bat. I haven't seen the evidence of it yet, but you know, let's pretend it's there. But just as a bowler, I think someone who's really impressive. I think this is about the time where he can break out, be a real force for Surrey, and become a real frontline bowler in the 100. I think this might be his year.
I completely agree. Obviously, I also have Gus Atkinson in my team. This was inevitable. I mean, yeah, it was obvious, wasn't it? Because he's very, very good, and we both like him a lot. He looked particularly good in the International League T20 out in the Emirates. He looked like a bowler of real promise out for the Desert Vipers. He turned quite a few heads out there. And I think people are starting to wake up to his potential. I think he will play quite a lot of games for the Oval Invincibles this year. I certainly think he will play more for Surrey. In the Red Bull stuff in the Championship, he started the season incredibly well. Looked really promising. I think this is going to be his big breakthrough year. I think he's fully primed for this. So this is going to be the year for Gus.
So that's 6 of 9 now. 6 of 9. Yeah, we're very predictable, aren't we? Love Gus. Okay. I'm confident these last two aren't going to be yours. I'm confident that my last two aren't going to be in there.
I tell you what, if one is, I've got a backup option. So
I think we're committed here. Well, I think we're committed
okay.
here.
Okay.
So you've got Curry, and so you're down to number 10. So I'll do my number 10, which is Zach Chappell.
Oh,
please, for
no.
the love of God, tell me you don't have Zach Chappell inside.
No, I don't.
Thank
because
God.
I don't pick players with that bad vibe.
Well, yes, look, I mean, let's not talk about Zach Chappell's vibe. I when I'm planning for these podcasts, I try and plan very thoroughly. And so I have which counts are they playing for, their roles, their stats, their styles, everything. It's obviously got Ali Orr, batter, Joe Cratnell, wicketkeeper, Luke Holman, all-rounder, Dan Douthwaite, batting all-rounder, Zach Chappell, traitor. It's all in there. And look, I can make all the jokes about Zach Chappell I want. Obviously, I always get it when young cricketers move to places like Nottinghamshire. The opportunities there are great. But there's so much untapped potential, and I'm really excited for him to move to Derbyshire and get some game time. Last year, very limited exposure, 6 games in 2022, 11 wickets at 12, economy rate of 7.7. I think, and assuming he can stay fit, there is a player in Zach Chappell. And this is very much an upside swing. We haven't seen him be consistent in any format yet, but he's tall, he's quick. I think he can operate in the power play. I think there's a bit more about him. We've seen him in glimpses last year look good. I think the move to Derbyshire and the bigger opportunities it can give him is a really good one for him. I think this could be the year where maybe he develops into part of what he could be and what we always thought he might be.
Derbyshire is a really good place for a young player to be right now, certainly a player with untapped potential. I think what Mickey Arthur has started to achieve at Derbyshire is genuinely really exciting. I think he'll learn a lot there. And I think Derbyshire have actually seen a couple of quite exciting young seamers break through the ranks in the last couple of seasons. George Scrimshaw, the most obvious one. He had a real breakthrough last season. Now an England Lions player. Really exciting prospect. And not so much in White Ball, but in the Red Bull games, Sam Connors is now an England Lions player, again, coming out from seemingly nowhere, never really looking like a player of much potential. Under the Mickey Arthur regime, he's suddenly come through and looks like a genuinely quite exciting prospect. So I feel like there's a track record there at Derbyshire for young seamers to come through and really push on to that next stage. And I feel like Zach Chappell is in a really good position to maybe do that. I'm unsure on him personally. I didn't really consider him too much for this, but I completely see where you're coming from. I feel like he's one of those players that, and we talk about this a lot on the podcast, of players that have all of the raw potential when you watch them play. You watch them play and you think, this player should be good. When you see Zach Chappell, you think he should be good.
Yeah.
And technically, statistically, it hasn't really happened yet to the level that you feel like it should have done. Now, obviously, the eye test is a pretty flawed metric a lot of the time, and I think it's unwise to place too much weight on that. But I feel like Zach Chappell is a player of potential, and I feel like he's in a good place to do that. So I don't necessarily agree with the pick, but I respect it, and I can see why you've done it.
Tall, quick, showed in limited exposure that he can play at this level. I just wanted to take a swing and try and pick a player I knew you wouldn't pick. So, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm a bit of an upside swing. Obviously, we love tall, quick seamers until they get injured. But I'm excited to see him get consistent game time. I think that could be a game changer for him. So excited to see Zach play. One player left. We have six players who are similar. Alior, Michael Jones, Sol Budinger, Luke Holman, Liam Travascus, Gus Atkinson. I'm pretty convinced that my number 11 is not going to be your number 11, but who is it, Charlie?
Okay. This is the guy who had a really good breakthrough in 2021. Really exciting seamer. Had a great blast in Middlesex. Had a really good 100 for London Spirit. Last year, he got injured. Didn't really play much at all. Then he went undrafted this year in the 2023 draft. And I feel like he's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. People aren't talking about him. Similarly to what you said earlier with players having 1 year where they don't do much and people kind of forget about him and move on a little bit. I think this could currently be one of those guys, but I think if he's going to come back into the Middlesex team and really blow people away, I hope he does. It's Blake Cullen. I know you're a fan of Blake Cullen. I wish I was a little bit skeptical about including him because I wasn't sure if you were gonna do it or not, but I took a swing and I'm glad I did because he is such an exciting player. He can hit 90 miles an hour. He's great with the new ball in hand. He's got a lot of potential with the def. Can be expensive, but he does get you wickets, very important wickets as well. I know the notion of being clutch is very, very hard to actually measure. It's largely meaningless, but he has that aura of being clutch around him. Despite being a very young man, I feel like I would have full confidence in giving the ball to Blake Cullen at the crunch time of a game. If I needed a wicket, if I didn't really care about going for a few sixes, if I wanted that wicket, I would say, go on, Blake. I trust you. You can do this. And there aren't many players at that age, certainly in domestic cricket, who you would have that kind of confidence with. And I feel like that's such an exciting talent to have. So for me, Blake Cullen was a no-brainer. I think he's a really exciting cricketer and I'm hoping that he has a really gun year this year and shows people what he can do because I think this bowler has a lot of potential.
I love Blake Cullen. I didn't include him as I thought you would. But you know how much I love him. I mean, this is a guy that everyone was talking about 2 years ago. Obviously gets injured and people kind of forget a little bit about him. But he's, again, got a bit about him. He's got a bit of a... I think he can grow into his frame a little bit more, so there might be a little bit more pace in there, pretty tall. He can hit as well. I think people forget
he can hit a bit.
He can bat, which I think is interesting as well. Always love a bowler who can throw the bat a bit. I think this is a guy who could really develop into something. So I'm super excited to see what he does. Obviously, you want to see him come back off of injury really positively. So we'll see how he does in that regard. But a player I'm very excited about. I'm really, really glad you included him because I think he's a player who could do great things. And so, yeah, very, very excited to see how it goes. My final player I've gone with a lad from Yorkshire, Dominic Leach. Now, this is another guy who has not played a great deal. That's because of injury. You know, you've only bowled 7 overs in the Blast last year. And I know we don't like short, you know, small sample sizes, but 5 wickets at 9, economy rate of 6.57. I think he just looked like a player who can exist at that level. And I know, again, you don't love the eye test, but he bowled well, I thought. He's tall, he's got pace, he opened the bowling, he got a bit of movement, caused some issues for sides. I'm really interested to see what Dominic Leach can do. And with a full season, hopefully playing for Yorkshire, I've never been convinced by Yorkshire's seam attack, to be frank, in T20 cricket,
no,
especially recently. So you've got this 22-year-old guy who, I mean, ESPN Cricket Info call him right on medium. He's not medium. He's pretty quick. He's pretty brisk. And so you're pretty excited by what he can offer in that regard. You know, played pretty well in limited exposure last year. I mean, you watched him play a little bit against Derbyshire, only bowled 2 overs, but, you know, took 3 key wickets, got Shaun Masood, Lewis Reece and Wayne Madsen out early on in the power play, which is always a good look. I'm hopeful that we'll see a bit more of him in the power play, obviously outside the power play as well. A little bit more game time, few more overs, bit of a swing on me on this one. But, you know, you not only look at that sample size, you also watch him bowl and you just think, you know, there's some talent here. Tall, quick, gets some movement in the power play, looks like a wicket taker, someone who can trouble you with a short ball, but also bowl a pretty decent Yorker, get it full, get it moving. I think there's a package there to be excited about. And there's been a lot of excitement in Yorkshire for a while about him. The question is, can he stay healthy and can he get some game time? I'm hopeful that this year will be his year.
I like that pick from you. I really like that. He's a very talented player. I have to say, a lot of potential there. But I have to say, when you said player from Yorkshire and then you said Dominic, I thought he's not picking Dominic Bess. Surely he's not picking Dominic Bess. And yeah, it went away that... It went the right way, thankfully.
It's interesting you say that.
Oh no! Don't do it.
Now I haven't put Dominic Bess in, but I will remind you that Dominic Bess bowled a lot in the power play for Yorkshire last year, and the climb rate was only 7.8. I don't think Dominic Bess is ever going to be a 100 level player. I was impressed enough by him bowling in the power play that I'm interested to see how many overs he bowls for Yorkshire this year. Not saying he's on a one-to-watch thing. I think that he bowled pretty well last year, is all I'll say.
Okay, well, I'll pretend that didn't happen. I'll go back to Dominic Leach. Now, Dominic Leach is not a player I've seen a great deal of, to be honest. I think I've only seen him play once, and I liked what I saw, but given the limited sample size of stats to go off and the fact I've only seen him once, I'll be honest, I can't contribute much more in this conversation, but... as I say, I like what I saw. I feel like a tall, fast bowler is always going to be exciting. So, yeah, I like it.
I'm interested by it. Dominic Bess, nowhere near my side, to be clear. He's not even on my not even on my list of 10 players who are honourable mentions. But, I think there's a little bit of a role player there. So there's our sides. 6 players who are the same, obviously. Orr, Jones, Budinger, Holman, Travaskis and Atkinson. I've also got a 12th man. Are we interested in hearing that? I've tried with this, Charlie, to pick a player you won't have heard of, which I think is my plan here. I don't know, because we didn't really say that we were going to do this in the slight list, so you might not have actually got a player here. So it might just be me.
I've got 7 or 8 players on the bench, in and around the squad.
Do you want to pick one and say we've got an official 12th man? Do you want to pick one?
Yeah, I'll pick one. I've got one.
Go on. Okay. I'm going to go first. I don't think you're going to know who this is. I'm going back to Middlesex for a third time. My 12th man is Adhartha Prasad.
I don't know that guy. I'm sorry.
You don't know who that is? Excellent. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. So this is a guy who I'm interested in, having done a bit of a dig into the second 11 T20 last year. Fell off a great deal later in the season, didn't do a great deal, Averaged 30, strike rate of 150, struggled later in the season, didn't make many runs. He does bowl a little bit of leg spin, which they're not keen to use yet, but there might be a little bit of something there, but let's ignore that. You look at those stats, you look at the fact he fell off later in the season, you think, okay, you know, what are you talking about here, Ed? I always come back, though, to when I see a player score runs against quality opposition, then I'm going to get excited. So Middlesex second 11 played Hampshire second 11 last year. This second 11 competition can get absolutely crazy because this is the attack for Hampshire in that game. You've got Chris Wood, obviously, very good player. You've got Liam Dawson, again, international level player. So I'm not completely sure what he's doing in the second 11, but we'll work with it. You've also got Mason Crane, again, played international T20 cricket for England. It's a good attack, isn't it? You have Brad Wheel, again, good player. And you have a guy called Harry Petrie, who is a nice, exciting young player. And Adolfo Prasad took that attack and he made 100 off 63 deliveries, 14 boundaries, got after it a little bit. And when you look at that attack, I mean, and you look at the way he went after... he went after some of them. You just think this is a serious player, especially how he went after Mason Crane in that game. You know, you get pretty excited about what he could potentially be. Big 100 against them, can bowl a little bit too. I don't think he'll even get in the side this year. I don't think he'll play for Middlesex, but I'm talking 2-3 years down the line. Just want to throw a player out there who's one to watch. So Adolfo Prasad, a nice young batter from Middlesex, is my 12th man.
Nice, I like it. Well, you've enlightened me. I've never heard of him before.
Yes,
but I'm excited
to hear your analysis on Adolfo Prasad, Charlie, with your massive exposure to him.
Well, you can help me make my choice here. Would you like to hear a 19-year-old who could be a 19-year-old Dan Dalthwaite? Mm-hmm. Or would you like someone who is in their late 20s, who has a lot of potential but has never shown it?
The 19-year-old who could be the next Dan Dalthwaite, because I love Dan Dalthwaite.
Okay, so this guy could be the 19-year-old Dan Dalthwaite. It is Essex's Jamal Richards.
Ah, Jamal's interesting. Yes.
Jamal is interesting, yes. He is 19. He's a regular in the under-19 squad for England. Now, initially kind of broke through as more of a bowler who could bat a bit, but I feel like he's a batter who can bowl a bit. He's sort of fourth or fifth change for England. He's not particularly quick. He's got something about him, but I think it's his batting that's particularly interesting. He hits a seriously long ball. He is very aggressive. He doesn't like to hang around. He's a powerful lad and he hits a lot of sixes. Made some pretty impressive stuff, pretty impressive innings for Essex in the Royal London Cup last year. In fact, he was the Essex Young Player of the Year, which surprised me because he didn't actually play that much, but... he hasn't necessarily made a big score. I don't think he's scored more than 30, 40-odd in his career. In fact, yeah, 46 was his high score when he blitzed Derbyshire, I think. He really got stuck into the likes of Matty McKinnon and Mark Watt that day at Chelmsford. I like Matty McKinnon, but he had a few bad days last year. And unfortunately, Jamal Richards got the better of him at Chelmsford. But he is... in many ways, like Dan Dalthwaite, in that I don't think I would necessarily trust him to bowl too much, and he can't really bat above number six yet. But at 19, there's still a lot of time to develop, and I think given some love, given some care, and the right coaching, I think Jamal Richards could be a real talent. So he's not going to do much this year. I'm pretty certain of that. He's not going to be playing much for Essex unless it's a few injuries, but... Keep your eye on Jamal Richards, because I think in a few years' time, you've got a real player there.
I wonder what Matty McKinnon's stats were like pre-Riley Rusubh. I think they were pretty good. Poor old Matty. He had a good season. He just ran into Riley Rousseau on the flattest track ever to exist. I like Jamal Richards. Interesting guy. You obviously hear him a little bit as a seamer, but I'm interested to see if there's a bit of batting there. Who's your late 20s guy very quickly?
It is... podcast favourite, Ollie Sale.
Yes! Oh, we had to get Ollie Sale in the middle. Hey, if Ollie Sale ever spends 6 months playing cricket without getting a serious injury, I'm super excited to see what he could be.
Me too. He's got pace. He's got decent slower balls and variety at the death. He's got a lot of bounce. He's a tall lad. He looks like a Viking. It's brilliant. He's a full package.
Ollie Sale is... Ollie Sell is one of those cricketers who I don't think anyone will ever understand why we like him so much.
No, probably
his,
not.
His exposure in T20 cricket has not been good.
No, it hasn't. But this is the thing, right? And this is purely vibes-based again. But you watch him play, and hopefully if you've seen him and you don't look at the bit where the batter hits the ball for six, if you pause it before that happens, you think, oh, this guy's great. If you look at his stats, you think, oh, this guy's awful. But that's not the point, right? The point is that he's vibey. He passes the eye test immaculately well. As I say, if you pause it before he gets his batch for six or bowls a wide or gets injured. All those things happen quite a lot in his admittedly very short career. But he has the raw materials. He is very much a raw materials merchant. He's moved to Northampton in the off-season from Somerset. I'm hoping that they'll give him a regular spot in the Blast 11, although the fact he's not played at all for them so far worries me. He's probably injured because I don't think he's playing seconds either, so not a great start. But I have faith, and I had to mention him because we love him.
Love Ollie Sell. Hey, he's going to get healthy. He's going to play. Let's believe. Love Ollie Sell. Yeah, there we are. So there's our full exercise. Our blaster players to watch. Obviously, we got six players exactly the same, but some different names in there as well. A lot of names I think could have a big impact on the blast and potentially the 100 as well. Hey, if you are excited for the T20 blast to begin, well, have I got the T20 Blast Fantasy League for you. If you head to our Twitter page at Podcast100, where all of our good stuff is, head over there and you can find our official T20 Blast Invitational League on the cricket draft. Build your team, see what you maybe throw in some of our picks, some of your own. Join our league. All of the details is on our page at Podcast100. Get involved. Obviously, we haven't had a podcast in a while. Lots of stuff going on. Obviously, we'll do a bit more as the 100 comes a little bit closer, hopefully. But for now, thank you very much for listening to a podcast that features a lot more Liam Travascus than I think anyone could have possibly imagined. And we'll speak to you next time.